May God continue to bless each one of you this morning. It has been a blessing and encouragement to be here this morning and to hear the Word of God, to worship Him. It's been a worshipful morning. And I trust that our hearts can continue to be drawn to Him in praise and adoration, for He alone is worthy. This morning's message is an assigned message that has been given to me. The title is The Ministry of Angels. It's a message that we don't hear very often. And I don't know what you think about when you think about angels. It would be interesting to open it up and to hear what your thoughts are about angels. Maybe you're thinking about some winged beings flying around. Maybe thinking about some of the pictures you've seen in books about angels. Maybe you think about the host flying around the throne in heaven, singing praises to the Lamb. Or maybe you think about someone that you met last week or some other time that was just a real blessing to you, some stranger that you never met before. And you know, it could be all of the above. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained strangers unawares." You know, there are stories of people that I think have met angels. They didn't know it at the time. There's a lot of stories about angels, and they're hard to verify by talking to others. So we need to be careful about what we believe in angels. But there definitely are angels. They're called God's ministering spirits. One thing to think about when you think about a story that has to do with an angel, one way to verify it is that all the glory goes to God when you hear stories about angels. It's not about the person that it happened to, or necessarily as much as what transpired, but for the glory of God. And that's my prayer for the message this morning, that we could give glory and praise to God for the blessing of angels. Angels definitely are real, and they're working in the Christian's life. There's one story that I'd like to, that I came across about an angel. It has to do with a minister that was preaching one evening at a church. He was tired at the end of the service, but he had another service he needed to preach at the next morning. And it was quite a ways from where he was at in the evening. It was a rainy, wet evening, and he sensed the need of God's help to get to the next place, to go with him through the night. And his prayer was that somehow God would help him to arrive there safely. He started driving, and he met a hitchhiker that needed a ride. So he stopped and took him along, and in the course of conversation, he found out that he's going almost to the same place that this minister was planning to go. And they had a very good time of discussing things that night. And before they knew it, they were almost there. It was morning. And so they decided to stop for a cup of coffee in the morning yet before they parted. And minister went in. They ordered two cups of coffee, and they decided that they're going to keep contact with each other, you know, from here on out. They really enjoyed each other's friendship. As the minister left, he just happened to think about it, that he forgot to get the contact information of the person that he had just met, his new friend. So he turned around, went back to see if he could see him. He didn't see anything of him. He went into the cafe and asked the waitress there if she knows you know, where he was at or which direction he went. And her question was, "What for friend?" He said, "You came in here by yourself." And there were the two cups of coffee yet. One was empty and the other one wasn't. You know, that God does take care of his children. And that story just really blessed me as I was thinking of that and how, you know, God knows every situation we find ourselves in. For this man, he needed to stay awake. For someone else, it might be something different. And God uses angels to minister. And my prayer is that the message would give us a greater appreciation of God's ministering spirits, of what God has done for his children to help us in this journey of life. An angel simply means a messenger of God. God's attendants. They're God's servants. That's what angels are. Psalm 103, verse 20 says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commands, hearkening unto the voice of his word." Or simply listening for the command of God, doing his commands. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. I'd like to read some verses here in Hebrews. It's talking about angels, comparing the angels to Jesus. There's many, many verses in the Bible that talk about angels, their work, what they do, and we don't have time to look at near all of them. But I'd like to read several scriptures that do talk about it. Hebrews chapter 1, talking about Jesus, I think we'll break in verse 4. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. "Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels, spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels saith he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" So angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Or they're sent for his children, us as Christians, the angels. As we see earlier in the chapter here, they are not equal to God. They are created beings. They're under the sun. They're not equal to Jesus, but they are created to be ministers. They're ministering spirits for the children of God. Let's turn with me to Psalm 148. Psalm 148, a few verses that say how they were created, that they are created beings. Psalm 148, 1-5. "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights, praise ye him, all his angels, praise ye him, all his hosts, praise ye him, sun and moon, praise him, all ye stars of light, praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Angels were created, just like you and I, like everything else that we see, created by God. And there's different speculation on when they were created. These are some things we don't necessarily know for sure. It doesn't really matter. But they were created beings. They're spirit beings. They more like how Jesus was after he was resurrected. You know, they're not bound by going only through doors and things like that. They have a spirit body. The angels were all part of God's creation and were created very good, just like everything else that he created. But we know how Satan, how Lucifer, wanted to become equal with God. Became proud and was cast out. And now we have good and bad angels. This morning we plan to only talk about the good angels. But there are also evil angels, demons that are out to destroy, to hinder the work of God. Then some people have a question on how many angels are there. And there are several places in Scripture talks about, gives us some numbers. One of those we just came across recently in our Sunday school lesson, when Jesus was taken captive or taken in the garden, he said he could call on 12 legions of angels to come and help him. And a legion is up to 6,000. So that would be like 72,000 angels. Turn with me to 2 Kings. We want to read a few verses there also about, I think it was a group of angels here also. And the context is Elisha and the Syrians. If you remember the story, how the Syrian king was trying to go to war with the Israelites and try to catch them off guard, take them by surprise. And it seemed every time that he sent his army to certain place, it seemed the Israelites were ready for him. And he was trying to figure out what's going on. And then some of his servants said, you know, it's none of us that are against you, it's Elisha. He knows what you're saying, even when you're in your bedroom. And so the king gave the command, well, go get Elisha. Let's take care of the problem here. So they found out that he was in Dothan, and they sent a great army to go and surround this city. So it's 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. This is the servant of the man of God woke up early, and this is what he saw. 2 Kings 6:15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? So he saw these enemy soldiers around the city and was like, how shall we do? And this is Elisha, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. If the Lord would open our eyes this morning, what do you think we would see? You know, and sometimes you wish for a glimpse of all the angels. But we don't all have that privilege of seeing them. And that doesn't really matter. But here there's a host. We know there's angels to be with us. And here there was a host, a great number, that were with the man of God and his servant. They were there to take care of him. Hebrews 12:22 says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." Here was a company of angels that can't be numbered. Also in Revelation 5:11-12, it talks about angels here praising the Lamb. It says, 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. 10,000 times 10,000 would come to 100 million. And thousands of thousands. These are the servants of God, ready to do His bidding, ready to take care of His children. Why do we question, is God with us? You know, if we are children of God, He's here to take care of every one of His children. It doesn't mean that we won't go through difficult situations. It doesn't mean we won't face death. But God will be with us. His angels are to take care of His children. The Bible doesn't say a lot about different kinds of angels, and yet we read of cherubim, we read of seraphim, we read of the archangels. The cherubim and the seraphim doesn't necessarily say they are angels. I would suppose they probably are, but I don't know for sure. But the cherubim was placed in the garden. In Genesis 3:24, we read about that when Adam and Eve sinned. The cherubim were placed there with a flaming sword to keep them from going back into the garden. It was there to protect the tree of life. Ezekiel also saw a vision of cherubim. Golden cherubims were placed on the Ark of the Covenant. And there the cherubim had wings. Also, the seraphim are mentioned in Isaiah 6. We don't have time to read that account, but most of us know that about Isaiah. When God called him, he was saw these six-winged angelic beings that were above the throne of God, and they were praising God and saying, "Holy, holy, holy." Again, angels bring glory to God. And they took a coal off the altar and put it on Isaiah's lips and prepared him for service, prepared him to do the work that God called him to do. We also read about the archangel. That's the chief angel. And Michael is mentioned by name. The Bible doesn't necessarily say if there's only one archangel or if there's more. There's speculation about that also. But it does give the name of Michael, the archangel. 1 Timothy 4:16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Jude 1:9, "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee." Even Michael, being the archangel, or say maybe the chief angel, when contending with the devil about the body of Moses, said, "The Lord rebuke thee." He wasn't going to take the authority away from Jesus or from the Lord, even though he was the archangel. Revelation 12:7-8, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven." Michael and his angels will be triumphant. God will be triumphant against all evil. So what do angels do? What is the ministry of angels? As I mentioned several times already, angels bring glory to God. And there's many accounts when angels brought glory to God. And one of the ones that is very familiar to us is in Luke 2, verse 14, when Jesus was born. The angels came to the shepherds and sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." They brought a message of peace, of hope, but they were praising God. Revelation 2, 8 and 9, the angel instructed John to praise him and not to fall down and worship him. It's when John had the revelation. You need to worship God and not angels. They're here to praise God. And there's many instances in the Bible where we see scenes of heaven and angels are worshiping God. They're bringing glory to Him. So that's one thing that angels do. Another is they rejoice when sinners repent. Luke 15:10. "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." What a blessing to know that there's angels in our midst. They see each one of our hearts. They know when a sinner repents, and they rejoice over that. You know, sometimes I have such a longing. If you could see the many angels and what glory and praise to God, and how they worship and praise Him. but they repent, or I'm sorry, they rejoice over one sinner that repents. They are God's messengers. If we go back to Genesis 18, there's three angels met with Abraham and told him he would have a son. They also told him that they are about to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. The chapter after that, we see two angels that went to Sodom. And I think it says that they went to see if things are really as bad as what they hear. And they went there and they met with Lot and his wife and his daughters. And then it says in verse 16 that the Lord, being merciful to them, He actually brought them out. And I think if you look back, you could see that God sent those angels on behalf of Abraham. Abraham prayed for Lot, interceded for him, and I think that put these angels to work. And I'm not sure how all that happens. It doesn't really matter, but our prayers do make a difference. God does hear our prayers. And here it would seem that the prayers of Abraham put these angels to work in bringing Lot out of the city there and gave them another chance. In Luke 1, verse 11 through 22, talks about Gabriel coming to Zechariah the priest and telling him that John would be born. It's a beautiful story there about Gabriel. He's the messenger sent from God. Luke 1:26 also talks about Gabriel being sent to Mary, telling her that Jesus would be born, that she would be the mother of Jesus. As I had mentioned before, in Luke 2, angels came to announce the birth of Jesus to the angel or to the shepherds. Angels are God's messengers. Acts 27, verse 23, it talks about an angel that brought a special message to Paul, telling him that they would survive the storm that they're in, and there's hope. They were out in the sea. It says for many days they were tossed by a bad storm. And maybe some of the youth can think about that a little bit. Possibly these people were sick too. And this was for days that they were out. But an angel came and lifted their spirits, strengthened them. Luke 24, angels announced Jesus' resurrection. We had that in our Sunday school lesson just recently. So they're God's messengers. Angels are also to encourage and strengthen. In Matthew 4, verse 11, talks about after Jesus' temptation, his time of temptation with the devil, said, "Behold, angels came and ministered unto him." They were there to strengthen Jesus. Luke 22:43, Jesus' agony in the garden, it also talks about an angel that came and strengthened him there. God's angels are here to strengthen his children. God's angels also bring judgment. If you remember the story about the Assyrians also, then when they were camped outside, I think it was the city of Jerusalem, in one night an angel of God killed 185,000 Syrians. What tremendous power the angels have. But they're involved in judgment. They also brought judgment on Israel when David sinned in 2 Samuel 24. Acts 12:23 talks about an angel that came and smote Herod because he didn't give God glory. He was proud. And angels will also be involved in the final judgment of the world. And sometimes angels hinder our way if it's against God's will. And an example of that would be Balaam. We all know the story of Balaam, and we don't have time to read that story. But as I read it again, I was blessed with that story. How Balaam wanted to go out with these men that were sent, and it was against God's will. And an angel stood in the way and hindered him. And then God also opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw this angel. I think it says it had a sword in his hand. And sometimes we hear the phrase that we're up against a block wall. You know, it just seems we don't know where to go. But maybe God is trying to show us something. Maybe an angel is standing in our way that we don't see. Maybe God wants us to go a different way. We need to pray that God would open our eyes when we find ourselves in those kind of situations. Maybe God's sending an angel to get our attention and saying, "This isn't the way you should be going. I want you to follow me." Angels are also out to guide the believer. Acts 8:26 talks about Philip was told by an angel to go into the wilderness and to meet the Ethiopian eunuch. And the blessing that they had of meeting each other there. There was a serious seeker. And God used Philip to meet his need. And he used an angel to get the two together. Acts 10:3 talks about an angel that told Cornelius to send for Peter. A serious seeker again, and how God wonderfully brought salvation to the Gentiles. Cornelius was ready to obey the angel. Peter was also ready to obey. And what a blessing there was. Angels are also out to protect us. We hear a lot about guardian angels. I think that's very true. We don't necessarily have that word in the Bible as a guardian angel, but they are out to protect us. Psalm 91:11, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Hagar and Ishmael found themselves in a difficult situation in the desert. An angel came and helped them. God promised the children of Israel that he would go with them. And it says, "I will send my angel." And some think that was possibly Jesus Christ that was as an angel. But it says an angel would go before them. Elijah, when he was in the desert, running away from those that wanted to take his life. An angel came and ministered to him. As he was sleeping, the angel said, "Rise, eat and drink." Another time that an angel came was when Daniel was in the lion's den, a story that we all know from little up. God marvelously saved Daniel in the lion's den. The Hebrew men in the fiery furnace, another instance of an angel helping them. Acts 5:17 to 20 talks about when the apostles were put in prison, during the night sometime, an angel left them out and said, "Go preach." And they went back in the temple, the same place that they were the day before. Angels marvelously delivered them. Also, the same thing happened to Peter. He was chained to soldiers behind locked doors, and an angel came and released him. Matthew 18, verse 10. "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." God's angels also take care of children. I'm not sure what it's all referring to here, but I think there's angels that watch over especially children and even all of us. 1 Corinthians 11 talks about a woman that is properly veiled is blessed by the angel's protection. Psalm 34:7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." Are angels camping around you this morning? Beautiful thought as you think about that. "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." I'd like to read another short story. A young man who was distributing gospel literature in Switzerland was traveling through the Alps late one winter afternoon some years ago. Down in the valley, he sighted a small house, and even though it was getting late, he decided to go down the treacherous mountain to visit the family living in that house. Cautiously and carefully, he picked his way down the steep, dangerous mountainside, arriving at the small cottage just about dusk. He found the farmer there waiting for him, for he had been watching the young man make his way down the dangerous path. "Where's your partner?" asked the farmer. "I'm alone," replied the young man. "I have no companion with me. I'm traveling alone." "Do you know what the farmer said?" He said, "But there was someone with you as you descended the mountain. I've been watching you all the time. Someone was close by your side as you picked your way from stone to stone. I saw two men climbing down that trail." You know, we have no way of knowing how often God's angels are protecting us, how often they're with us. But it's a blessing that we know that God's angels are alive, and they are protecting his children. God's angels are also involved in the death of the righteous. Luke 16:22, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." See the difference of a righteous man. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. You know, there's many stories of sightings of angels when people are about to pass on from this life. We don't know how that all transpires, but we do know, and we do have the promise, that when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not be alone. And that's a blessing. How that all happens, I don't know. But we have the blessing to know that God will be with us. There's a quote that says, "Angels are to us physically as to what the Holy Spirit is to us spiritually." You know, God has provided for our physical protection. And I think that's It's mainly the work of angels to grant us physical protection, to be with us in a physical sense. God has provided for our spiritual direction by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is to direct us in truth, in righteousness. We have no way of knowing this side of eternity, how often angels are ministering to us, for us, how often they've been involved in our lives. But we do know that they are exist, that they do exist, and they're for the glory and praise of God, and for the blessing of His people. And may we praise God, the one that has so bountifully and so beautifully given us what we need to safely travel through this pathway of life. May God be glorified and praised. Let's kneel for prayer.